just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, the day has finally come.
It did.
That Disney Plus is in all of our homes.
Everywhere you look.
I mean,
it's all over the place.
It was the biggest news of the week. Like, it feels like everybody was talking about Disney Plus.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it?
It does.
10 million people subscribed on day one.
Oh, that explains all the problems they were having.
Apparently. I didn't experience many problems, though.
That's because you're a non-problematic kind of person.
It's the way I roll.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
If you had problems, it's your fault. No, I think... Disney,
says the one that had problems.
I had problems. I think Disney was obviously optimistic about people wanting to see Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what... I'm always a little bit skeptical when people are like, Disney didn't expect this. I'm like, you make millions and billions of dollars on your movies and TV shows already. I don't buy this crap about how they didn't expect this big of a response.
Sure.
Of course you did.
Yeah, and I would totally say it far exceeded our expectations as well.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Might as well.
So this whole excuse of like, oh, they didn't know it was going to be that big, and it crashed their servers or whatever kind of nonsense they were spinning it on.
Yeah.
I say nonsense.
But can you really prepare for it? Like, I don't know if you really can prepare for it. And part of the problem is they wouldn't let you prepare for it. Like, I tried to go on and, like, download the app and stuff prior to, and it wouldn't let you do it. And I was trying to figure out how to open an account, and I was like, well, now it's just hours away. You might as well just wait until it's available now.
Sure.
Right? So, that's what I did.
No, I agree. Like, they didn't do themselves any favors by not making the app actually downloadable beforehand. Those of us that play video games, a lot of times, if you pre-order a game, it will preload things onto your system.
Oh, nice.
Digitally.
Yeah.
So that the day of, you don't have everyone trying to download at the same time.
Right.
Which I think Disney should have done. Disney's been around the streaming game enough that I feel like they should have seen these sort of issues cropping up.
Right. It's so funny though, right? Like when they try to do a scheduled rollout, it doesn't work. And then when they try to make it a free for all, that also, like, no matter what they do, everything they do is so big nowadays that it's just like, well, I just...
You just expect problems at this point.
Yeah. And rightfully, I mean, ultimately, though, at the end of the day, like, I was able to watch what we were able to. I was surprised at how well I was doing with it on day one.
Actually. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, our old Roku, it didn't load properly on that one and said, can't load at this time or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we got a weird subtle thing on one thing or something.
But that drives me crazy.
Other than that, like, it was fine. We watched stuff. We watched Lady and the Tramp, go figure.
Well, you know, when you get the new stuff, you kind of want to watch the new stuff.
Right.
I haven't watched The Mandalorian personally. I know people are a big fan of it. But the thing that I do like about what Disney Plus is doing is that instead of giving us an entire series dump at one time, they are coming out on a weekly basis. So okay. The Mandalorian had a release date episode. Then the next episode came out that Friday, and then for the next couple of Fridays, The Mandalorian will have a new episode coming out.
I do like that.
And it makes more sense to me. I'm a big fan of, like, Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. And the problem is, they release the entire season all on the same day.
Right.
So, if you have the time, you can binge watch the whole thing in 24 hours, and then you've got nothing left to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch everything. No suspense. Like, the episode ends, you're like, okay, next episode.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think they're doing it in a way that I think makes sense. It keeps the hype up and makes it more of an event.
Sure. So, and as a viewer of like This Is Us, I like that it makes you wait each week to see the new episode.
Right.
If they make, but then it took me a year to get into that season anyway, and so I watched the whole first season in 3 days. So I guess I like both.
Yeah. Well, I think business wise, it makes sense to stretch it out a little bit and give them time to digest each episode and to be excited for what's coming next.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it so everyone's on the same page. No one's speeding through the whole season and spreading spoilers for people because it's not there yet.
Oh, true.
You know?
That is a true story.
Mm-hmm. But the great thing about Lady and the Tramp is that it's a standalone movie, so there is no...
You know I was going to say that, too. Tell me about the new series of Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, could you imagine how depressing this series would be? So,
talk about a rough show.
Right? The thing about Lady and the Tramp is it suffers from what I call Roald Dahl syndrome. I love Roald Dahl's books. He is a very influential writer for my childhood. He wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He wrote The Twits.
I've seen that.
He wrote Matilda. These are books that I loved as a kid, and they're hilarious and ridiculous and all these great things. And then they make them into movies, and some of the things that happen in the books that are funny aren't quite as funny when you see them happen in live action.
Oh, true.
It's a little disturbing to see Augustus get stuck in the pipe. It makes me claustrophobic.
Yeah.
It's a little disturbing to see the Trunchbull pick a little girl up by her pigtails and spin her around and chuck her over a fence. It sounds funny, but then you see it and you're like, oh, this is dark, you know? Yeah. And so I feel like the same thing happens with Lady and the Tramp. Even in the cartoon format, it had its emotional pulls, but when they make them photorealistic dogs,
right,
for some reason, it makes me more uncomfortable than if they were just cartoon dogs running around.
I fully agree with you. And they did make it a PG-13 as opposed to a G, right?
Sure.
And so that obviously is going to add additional effect, and it deserves the PG. I feel like it totally does.
Did it attack your heartstrings a bit while you were watching?
It was not what I would call enjoyable.
Oh wow, you didn't even enjoy it.
It was really well done. It was a high quality show,
very much so,
much better than I expected. I would put it. I felt like it was as high quality as Lion King recently was.
Ooh, sure,
but there was a lot of part because it was a period piece. It was set in like Old Town London, right?
No, it's in America.
Oh, was that in America?
Mm-hmm.
But it was set in like older America then, yeah?
Yes.
You can see how much I paid attention.
Yeah, he was really enthralled.
I was riveted, people. But because of that aspect of things, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to be watching.
Costuming is fun.
And the fact they were in the old wooden trolleys. Oh, you couldn't get me away from those old wooden trolleys. I loved that. That part of it was fascinating.
I would say I liked this better than the remake of Dumbo, though.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying much. I hated the remake of Dumbo.
There you go.
So there's that. Keep that in mind. But I felt like this was truer to the source material that they had. And it kept the kind of the overall feeling. Now, like I said, I feel like it's a little dark to see live action dogs in these certain situations.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit less enjoyable.
And the trauma of the Siamese cats. I've had those cats before. Like, I know what they're talking about.
Those destructive cats.
Yes. I think everybody has, and that's why they did it that way. But yeah, like, it completely reminded me of how much I love pets and why we don't have any.
Oh, like, there you go.
You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, I get it.
No, and I've loved all the pets that I've had and been around. But pets can be hard on a house.
Oh, yeah.
And you kind of have to run a pickup game, kind of, where you're, like, following behind them, making sure that they're not completely destroying your house. But I will give them kudos on this. The dogs in Lady and the Tramp, and the cats, to a lesser extent, looked really real to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times in these sort of movies, you can go, okay, that's obviously fake. That's obviously fake. And these, I feel like they probably intercut it with some live action dogs with their CG animals.
Right.
So it all looked really good. And like I said, they follow, if you've seen Lady and the Tramp, the cartoon, they pretty much follow the same story beats, good and bad. And then they throw in a couple extra that I
wasn't expecting.
I wasn't expecting and honestly didn't like.
Huh.
So you have, of course, you have, for those of you that don't know, you have Lady who is living in her pretty Victorian house with her picture-perfect family, with her friendly neighbor dogs, living the high life. And then you have the Tramp who just lives on the streets, kind of does what he wants, but has a heart of gold, almost an Aladdin-type thing going on.
Right. And he did look dirty.
Well, yeah, he has to. He's the Tramp, right?
They got that part down.
They got it. And then Lady's family gets pregnant and has a baby, and Lady feels disenfranchised by that. So you get a little bit more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then they... The cartoon did this too, but like I said, the live action movie makes me more uncomfortable when they show, the rat running around the house.
It was a tough scene, wasn't it?
That was an issue for me.
Yeah.
When she goes to the pound and they're going to euthanize one of the dogs.
Right.
I'm like, they are not doing that scene, and they totally didn't shy away from doing that.
It was
and then they added in another horrible scene for the Tramp, which I won't spoil for you, but it's like, man, you really need to put all this in here? This is all so sad, and with the live action dog stuff, I hated it.
It really drove it home on a deeper level.
It did.
Right. I don't remember it ended up in a good way, right? But I don't like this either too. Like when at the last 3 minutes of a movie, it all comes together and everybody's all like, "Oh, yay, see, it's all
You have to have a happy ending."
You do.
Though.
But I don't want it the last I don't want to be tortured for 75 minutes and then have two happy minutes and go, okay, everything's better, moving on. You're like, okay, I would rather just watch all of this in the happy moments.
Right.
it's far more what I'm expecting.
Especially Lady and the Tramp builds up to what they call the all is lost moment where everything's terrible.
Yep.
And then they bring everything around in the last 3 minutes. It's not... I mean... To be fair, the whole beginning of the film is pretty jovial, and it has its funny parts.
That is true. I do like the beginning of it. Most films.
And
most
then movies, yeah. As you have your third act kind of stuff that is very heavy, and it's kind of the encroaching darkness, and then that all is lost moment all in that last third act.
Uh-huh.
It feels oppressive. To a certain extent, yep. Where you're like, where did my happy movie go?
Uh-huh.
That now Lady's thrown in the pound. Like, this is terrible, right?
Yeah.
So, overall, though, it's enjoyable if you like Lady and the Tramp. This is a really, like I said, a pretty faithful recreation of it.
Right. And it's okay to me that they made it more of a adult film, you know?
Mm.
I'm totally okay with that. There's no reason to not give some of these storylines a more of an, you know, this isn't for your kids to watch. You still can watch that one, I think, right? I'm sure the original Lady and the Tramp's on there.
Sure. Of course it is. and I wouldn't say this isn't for kids. It's... Like I said, it's almost an exact recreation of Lady and the Tramp. So if your kids are okay with the original,
they'd be okay with that.
This one's fine too. Again, though, I do have to throw my complaint out there that I throw out every time they remake a movie. Why remake it? You have the original. And
sure.
This one, while it does add a couple things to it, I don't think that it justifies remaking the whole movie.
Well, and if you're going to put it on Disney Plus so I can watch it as part of my subscription plan, that's absolutely fine.
Right,
I'm not
sure.
Going to a movie and paying you good hard-earned money for this.
And see, that's where I'm at with it now, too. If all the rest of the live-action remakes come out on Disney Plus, great.
Fine.
I'm more than okay with that. I do have a problem with the remakes making more, if not same amount, if not more, as much money as the originals.
Uh-huh.
I find that offensive. And it's just, it makes me feel like the public is dumb. You know, like, we keep on giving them money for remaking things that we already know.
Well, and ticket prices are 2.5 times what they were when the originals came out.
Oh, that's
so
true too.
I guess that's the other way that they're making a ton of extra money. I do have to say, though, the thing that I did like about Lady and the Tramp is it really did run me right to the end, like I've been talking about, onto the National Geographic Channel, and started watching The Shape of Dogs. And that show is adorable.
You love that show.
I think I laughed and awed more than I have laughed and awed at a show.
I think you clapped a couple times.
Legitimately. I love that dog. He's so cute. Like, I was all into it. I couldn't stop.
Fun show to watch. And it's one of those things that probably isn't on the forefront of anybody's to watch list. Like, I don't see anybody being like, you know what I'm excited to watch?
The Shape of Dogs.
The Shape of Dogs.
I was. Skip Lady and the Tramp. Oh, move straight over to The Shape of
Get
Dogs.
Get your history first, then go back and watch Lady and the Tramp.
Like, they were so cute.
It is a fun concept, though, and it is more informative than I thought it would be. Like, sometimes you're like,
and okay. Really well shot, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm gushing like it's a brand new series. I know that it probably came out on cable like 15 years ago.
Right. Everyone's like, we've seen it. Calm down.
Right. Brand new to me.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Well, and it is fun. Like, I expected it to be kind of like one of those fluff shows where they're like, look how cute this dog is. We're going to film it rolling in the grass for 20 minutes. Aren't you happy? You know? And I'm like, that doesn't sound appealing to me.
Or worse, like the slow documentaries too, where they're like, once upon a time,
there look once at this was dog. A dog. And then they don't talk at all either. That's the worst kind of documentaries.
And they just do like slow pan shots across the, you know, snickerdoodle or whatever it is. I don't know.
Snickerdoodle.
I'm sure that's a dog, I'm sure, right?
It's not. That's a cookie.
Yeah, but then you mix the two dogs together, right? Of some kind. I'm going to Google it. I bet I'm right.
Okay. For all of you that have a cinnamon sugar dog, let us
dubs,
know.
I'm completely wrong.
That's going to be the name of our next dog.
Snickerdoodle.
Snickerdoodle. No, it's actually really informative and well done. It's not just, hey, look how cute dogs are. Aren't you glad we have dogs? Right. It's like, this dog was bred for this specific thing, and this is why the dog looks this way, and this is where this dog come from. And I didn't know that Shar Pei's were killed almost to extinction.
Yeah, I had no idea.
It's like, there are things in there that you're like, huh, that is something to tuck away when you're at some sort of party and have nothing to talk about. You can pull that fact out and get people chit-chatting, right?
Right, because when it does come to talking with people about their dogs, love it.
Oh, like, sure.
This I could talk about all night long. Oh, I just love it.
Who doesn't love talking about dogs?
Yeah, cat people.
Oh,
I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah, we didn't watch The Shape of Cats.
Not yet.
Is there a Shape of Cats?
I don't know, but after watching the We Are Siamese, are we allowed to say that? Was that on
You're
there?
Not.
That was in the original show, though, right?
It was. And but they have warnings about that now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No. And we should touch on that, too. Good thing you went back to that. They did take out the entire racially insensitive song that was in the original.
For the remake?
Yes. It was, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't remember if the cats in the original were distinctly male or female. I don't remember if they were ever said to be one or the other. But I believe in the remake, it's two male cats,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken. And they sing a new song, which, granted, isn't as catchy as the original one,
uh-huh.
But obviously much less problematic. And I think it's a wise decision to not have that song in there.
Yeah. That brings up a good point, though, because with Disney Plus, we're releasing all of this stuff that is maybe less sensitive than it should be in today's society.
Yes.
They're leaving all the original content in there, right? They're not touching it.
Right. But I do believe when you start watching some of these films, it does have a disclaimer on the top left side that warns you about things that you may not be comfortable with. So we started watching one that says, oh, brief nudity and drug references, because we watched Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, okay.
Right?
And a disclaimer popped up at the beginning of that?
The disclaimer popped up that said, oh, references to drug use or whatever.
See, y'all thought I was kidding when I said we were going to watch that as one of our first shows.
We totally saw the ghost, guys. We screamed. Now our house is haunted.
Completely true,
Ted
right?
Danson in a top hat. So I think they are definitely leaving those things in there. I believe it was Whoopi Goldberg that they used to have in front of shows that said, you know what, there's stuff in here that we know now isn't okay.
Okay.
But if we remove it, then it's like pretending like it never happened.
Yeah.
We leave it in so that you can see what the opinions were and you can have a discussion about how things have changed. And I think that's important too. My brothers, the first time they saw the movie Hairspray, they didn't get it because they had not been in a racist society. Like, they didn't understand why people were being mean to people of different races.
Oh, is that? That's nice.
And my mom had to explain to them, no, it used to be this way.
Right.
And so it's an educational thing. It doesn't have to be negative. You can tell your kids, hey, this was not okay for them to make fun of this or to say this. And we know that now. And we work on being more appropriate and nicer to everybody now. And I think it's a good thing to have a discussion about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We don't even have time to even get into the pricing structure that I just found out about too.
Oh, Steve is so upset about the pricing, y'all. He wants to talk about it.
I do. But I don't know if I'm upset. It's just interesting to me.
Oh,
but
okay. All right. Well, maybe next time we watch something on Disney Plus, we will discuss the pricing structure.
That or Hulu.
Look forward to that one, all you non-math people.
I know.
But
don't worry, I got a subscription to ESPN Plus too, so go sports.
I will be picking my favorite sports team and letting you know how they're doing. Oh, but it's like I always say, he's a tramp, but I love him.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.